Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Prime Day es el 16 y 17 de julio. Con las ofertas épicas exclusivas para miembros Prime, recibe el reconocimiento que tanto mereces.
¡Wow! Gracias. Ni siquiera preparé un discurso.
Quisiera agradecer a mi familia, que siempre necesita cosas. También a Sam, mi repartidor, por entregarme todas mis ofertas increíbles tan rápido. ¡Te adoro, Sam! ¡Mua!
Compra ofertas en electrónicos, hogar y más este Prime Day, del 16 al 17 de julio.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show, doing round two of toy-based episodes.
Something just happened to your brain.
Yeah, because I forgot that we took a week off last week, but the people would never know that. Because everything was like Gina burned like had a fire alarm issue in her place, and Chan lost his internet, and I'm just sitting here like that guy in the meme, just sitting on the swing, just waiting to get started.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and you're late more often than the two of us, so
no,
that's not even partially accurate.
Who was on time tonight, huh?
The answer is not me, and that's not the point I'm trying to make. I had very important things to do. We are talking about round two of five of... Now, this is supposed to be a toy. This isn't really Crash Test Dummies. They were a toy. I did have action figures of the Crash Test Dummies that fell apart when I was a kid, but this is more like a California Raisins thing. Where these characters were, of my understanding, invented for seatbelt safety commercials.
Yep. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. You don't remember those commercials?
Oh my God, of course I remember those commercials. They were everywhere.
Yeah.
But like the conceit was like shows that were kind of one-offs that were based on things that really shouldn't have been made in a series and ended up not being series. Like things that you'd find as... like a single pilot episode on a videotape attached to a toy that, you know, never went anywhere. So
it's pretty good. I believe they did make one season of this Crash Test Dummy show.
I believe so. Yeah.
But that being said,
no,
I don't know.
No,
why.
I thought it was, am I getting this? Yeah. Okay. No. So this was an unsold TV pilot. So it was a TV pilot that they made. And then they were like, hey, buy a whole show. And they were basically like, fuck no. And then they aired it as a TV movie. But surprisingly, they didn't. The reason for not buying the show was not, it looks like garbage. It sounds like garbage. It is garbage. It was because this garbage computer animation was so cost prohibitive that they were like,
crazy.
We can't afford your super expensive, looks like trash. Now, listen, if you've all been listening to Knowing's Half the Podcast for many years, you know that there is nothing that I hate more than computer animation of a certain time. I think it is the weirdest, uncanny valley shit. This whole thing looked to me like a thing that Butters would make on South Park in his intro to computer class. I am not shitting you. That is all I could think. I thought Butters made this. It's like a season 5 episode of South Park or something where Butters has to take a, and you think it's like the best thing ever. And everyone is like, Butters, this is garbage. That's what I thought about this. It might be the worst thing we've ever watched.
Now, okay, a couple, I got some takeaways to what Gina just said right there. Now, when you say of a certain era, are you referring to roughly in and around May 1st of 1993?
Yeah, just that one month. They really perfect, weirdly, it only took them a month to perfect that technology.
Yeah, to be fair, as empty and hollow as this animation of CGI of 1993 is, it still looks better than Beast Wars. I'll go ahead and put it out.
No.
Wow. I'll put it out.
I do not think so. I think that they are equally terrible.
No, I'm going to say right now, Crash Test Dummies went, for various reasons, very minimal with what they were trying to do with the CGI. Beast Wars was trying to do something very maximal, and it did not work at all. Wow. Here, at least I could live in the simplicity and not feel so bad about what I was watching.
It all made me feel like dying.
It is of its time. That is all that can be said about it.
What you say about a racist uncle, sir?
Yeah, I do. And you know what? Uncle Phil is
Uncle Phil.
You know, he's a
you
he's
went
a member
Prince
of the family.
Bel Air for the bit. Yeah.
What else are we gonna do with him?
I mean, he's put him out to pasture. If this is the metaphor for this cartoon, I say blow up Uncle Phil. Scrub his existence from the internet so that we can all pretend this does not exist and has never existed.
I read an article like a couple weeks ago about how in culturally as a people, we've moved on from the inviting your racist uncle to Thanksgiving dinner situation. And we just don't invite those people anymore as a culture. So if you at home are sitting there and you still deal with that, it turns out you don't have to.
Well, here's the thing. That's I'm sure that is certain cultures of people. I'm going to tell you it's not East Coast Jewish or Italian people, because they're going to keep inviting those people for the rest of their lives. But maybe like white people, like super, super white people who are like Norwegian or something, are setting boundaries and they're like, let's not invite the racist uncle. But if you're in like a first or second generation person, Mediterranean or Jewish, I think you're pretty much like, yeah, invite him. So he's going to say something racist.
I got bad news for you. You're only about one more generation away for all of the Italian Americans to forget that they were a persecuted class and for them to join the rest of we white folk as they are already white folk.
Well, that's why we're not persecuted. That's why we keep inviting the racist uncle, because it persecutes us.
Somehow that made sense in my brain, and I'm not sure if that's a good thing or anyway. So this is wild. So we have the Crash Test Dummies. You're right. One off.
Awful.
A pilot. Now, how you could make an entire CGI animated pilot off of that song?
Oh my God. First of all, stupid. Second of all, if that's actually what this was, I would be on board.
It just opens with, once there was this kid who, and you tell his story. I want to know what happened to this kid.
Didn't want to change with the kids in the locker room. I would watch that. I would watch a kid who's like, what's this mystery about? Why isn't he changing with them?
It turned out he had bruises all over his body.
I thought it was birthmarks.
It was birthmarks,
man.
No, the last one was bruises. Look, it's been a while since I've heard this song. It's been like a week. Because that's what I listened to prepare for this episode.
Well, now I'm looking at the lyrics. I would have rather watched than this hot, hot, hot garbage.
Well, let's get into it, because I'm trying to understand the world of the Crash Test Dummies, because I have a problem. And in this world, which seems to be just one testing facility / factory where all the Crash Test Dummies live and work, and there's a certain prestige about which tests you get to be a part of. And being a QA lifer at this point, I was interested in what this world. I was really trying to get my grasp on what this world is all about.
You were interested, huh? interested. I was interested. Super interested in.
Well, there's a couple of things. One, they're going to test. It was like a big prestige item to test the president's car. Like, oh, we're going to test the president's car.
I would get it. That actually makes sense. In the world of crash test dummies, if you are a sentient crash test dummy and your one job is like the safety of people's vehicles, you can't get higher than the president.
Yeah. The other thing about it was not only do we have adult crash test dummies that are alive, we have children crash test dummies for child testing. And they also are brutalized.
Now, are they children are they adults in children's bodies?
Oh, boy.
Oh, I think they have the mentality. Do they have the mentality of children?
We didn't really talk to them in the episode. They were just sort of there. We never did a lot of interaction. I have a lot of questions about the children here. Also, like some of the tests that they have to do right out the gate, they're like, this is our world. This is where we're at. We're going to smash into a wall and we're going to see how it goes. So he smashes into the wall in the president's car and it's like, okay, we did it. He's like, we did it. He's like, okay, now we're going to throw a bomb in the car and we're going to do the bomb test. And I'm like, that is not what crash test dummies are for.
Listen, they've evolved. They've evolved between just vehicular manslaughter. Now they're trying to find all the different ways to kill the president.
And now they'll be able to lay eggs, fertile eggs, and reproduce.
Yeah.
Because nature mammals? Finds a way.
Are they like platypus mammals? I'm confused.
I don't know. I don't know why they didn't make one a woman. Like, there's no women in this, right? As far as I can tell.
There ain't no room for women in the world to crash test dummies.
But actually, it's like interesting because I was trying to figure it out. And I think this is my theory. I think they were like, hey, we're going to make a show where it's all about like these things that basically get the shit kicked out of them. But they're into it. Like they enjoy it. And I bet they were probably like, okay, but we can't make any women, right? Because we don't want to hear women getting hurt, even though they're just crash test dummies and they clearly don't have pain receptors and their heads are popping off. That is my theory. In 1993, someone made a decision that none of these could be women because they didn't want to see women getting bashed in by cars. Whereas I don't think we'll have true equality until women are allowed to be crash test dummies.
Would you like to be a pioneer in this regard?
I would like to have the option.
Fair. Now, fair enough.
I'm surprised that Chan didn't enjoy this show more than he did because this is a show that is just wall-to-wall puns. Just down the block, it's just nothing but puns. They show a thing, and then they'll do like five puns about the thing, and then they'll just move on to the next thing.
Wait, it sounded like Chan hated it the least of all of us.
Hmm.
Maybe that's why.
It's possible. This thing is out of my memory already. I watched it. I took notes on it, and then I have no idea what's happening.
that's good because I still remember it and I hate it.
It must be that I hate it the least because I'm not actively hating it. And by the time we get to the end of this, it's entirely possible that you will all have reminded me of all of the things that I fucking hated about this. But I guess we'll find out.
Well, I'll say right now, I didn't hate it. I didn't hate this. There were a couple of gags that I legitimately enjoyed. We'll get to it when we get to it.
I don't think
there was one in particular that made me laugh every time they did it. Literally, I don't laugh at things. I laughed at crash test dummies.
This might be what ends this podcast relationship for me.
Look, you're going to replace me with a female crash test dummy. And it will be honestly not soon enough.
Two things. This was developed and written by Savage Steve Holland. Which,
how do I know that name?
We all know that name because Rocco's he directed Better Off Dead.
Oh.
He did like the like claymation stuff.
The burgers and the food dancing around. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, if this was claymation, I would be way more on board with this.
Oh, that would be really interesting.
Yeah.
The theme music, one of the writers, Ray Parker.
Ooh.
Ray Parker Sr.?
Actually, hold on,
because
I just realized that it wasn't Ray Parker Jr. And I don't know for sure if there's just a lot of Ray Parkers or not.
At this point, yeah, maybe. I mean, it couldn't be Ray Parker Sr. because Ray Parker Jr. was old in the 80s.
Was he old?
Well, I mean,
this is only
old.
9 years after Ghostbusters came out.
I mean, not old.
This
but
show's
like,
been around for 9 years. Are we old?
Yes, Ray. We're old as shit.
Oh, God damn it. I used to have
no.
I was trying to see if anyone like really famous was involved in this, which look, we've all been there. We've all taken a paycheck to write a show that has us doing a lot of work that we're not proud of. But
Gina, would you like to elaborate on that?
No, I would not.
What shows are you not proud of, Gina?
Because I probably could elaborate on that for you if
not,
you wanted to give me a few
me.
Minutes.
Not me. I meant you guys. Clearly, I was talking about you guys. I'm
oh,
proud
obviously.
Of everything I've ever done. It's all gold. But there's a wackadoodle professor character who's voiced by the guy who voiced Graydon Creed and Leech in the original X-Men. That was sort of the most famous person I could find.
That oh, is nice. Wow, that is real bottom of the barrel.
No, in the animated series.
Yeah, I know, but that's still like fourth tier character in a, you know, a decent show.
Leech, Leech help you now. Leech fix your eyes. Everyone
well,
classic Leech line, right?
Sorry, seventh tier. That's my mistake.
You know, I came into this episode not expecting Gina to pull out her Leech from the 90s X-Men impression, and I was wrong.
You help Leech, so Leech help you.
God dang it.
Why?
Let's in the happening? Audience know what I'm talking
Let's get
about.
Into the plot, because this is very important. It centers around an object called the Torso 9000. Now, this is a specialized torso for crash test dummying. That's it's state-of-the-art. And all it's everybody wants to test it, you know. Everybody wants a piece of this, they want to wear it, they want it to be their chest. And they give it to Ted, who's like the third crash test dummy. And they're sort of like, yo, why does Ted get it? The two of us want it, Larry and I don't know, David, Larry, David. I don't know.
Isn't it like Springy and Stumpy or something?
I did write down the names of the crash test dummies.
Oh, I haven't here. Slick and Spin.
Yeah.
Slick and Spin are the mains.
And they're like, why don't we get to test the Torso 9000? And correctly pointed out, you guys are still in the middle of testing the president's car.
Yeah.
You can't just like abandon that test. It's too important. That's why Ted gets it. And honestly, logically, this show is holding together.
I mean, honestly, this is more plot than I expected, especially when they were like, oh, we tested this thing out. We can't test the head because the head turns evil. And I was like, all right, okay, this is actually a plot, I guess.
Well, no. The evil head is a completely different thing.
No, the evil head was part of that super sternum.
The super sternum.
Whatever it's called.
Torso 9000.
The torso, okay, wow. Yeah. The head was part of the Torso 9000, but when right. they like put it all together, it turned evil. So then they were like, rip its head off and we'll mm-hmm. test the torso separately,
okay,
which is horrific.
Ray, I need a check from you. Does this universe still hold together now that we know?
Oh, absolutely. Because I don't think the Torso 9000 and the evil head, I think those are two separate entities that mm-hmm. were not necessarily connected before. Now, they keep the... It looks like a gimp head, I'll just say it.
So they had... Hold on. They have two robot souls. Each
no,
piece.
No, the torso doesn't have a soul. The torso uh-huh. is like a car that you would drive. The head is where the soul is contained because they could still be alive without a head. You notice that with their heads separated, they're still alive. The torso itself is not alive if it does not have a head attached to it.
Wait, can the torso move independently of the head?
I don't think that it can. And I've thought about this a lot. Now, there is a gimpy head. It's evil. My favorite moment is when the professor goes to unlock a keyhole and he pulls out a card and just sticks the card in the keyhole and that just works. Truly, 1993 CGI is a blessing to us all. Absolutely wonderful. So we understand there's an evil head. They are set. Look, they are setting up beats for later in this episode. This episode, I will contend, is better structured than over half of the things that we watch on this show. Okay. At maybe even higher.
Hold up. Hold up. So why are they building this torso?
Oh, for testing purposes, Chan. It's state of the art.
Hold on. Hold on.
If this test is successful, we'll build torsos for all the crash dummies.
New torso, man. Get ready.
So, but isn't the point of the crash test dummies to mimic human physiology so that when a crash, you know, causes too much damage, then they know that it's not acceptable for human use.
That's a good point. So if
they make a torso that can't be damaged, then what is the point of crash test dummies?
Chan, that you would think that. But the actual thing behind the Torso 9000 is that it takes better statistics. It analyzes it better. So you actually, even though it doesn't need to crumple necessarily,
is this still in the registers of the show?
this is the supplementary books that Ray read to prepare for this.
I usually don't prepare for this. I read volumes of Crash Test Dummy
physiology. It's a little unclear right now what's canon and what's not, but hopefully
this is Crash Test Dummy Extended Universe.
This is why you don't give me an extra week. So here we go. They're testing the car or something. There's a literal bug on the track, like a cockroach or something, and they don't want to hit it. So they fly through the roof to avoid it and land it like a county over.
I respect this. I couldn't tell if they hit it and the bug was so hard that it blew them off the tracks, or they tried to avoid it.
I think they tried to avoid it. That's what I got.
Well, then
I
love them.
They're not murderers.
I love them for this.
I believe, wasn't it an entire like friggin' family of bugs?
I think that comes later.
There was a family of bugs, but I believe only one was left behind on the track.
No, it's not a family of bugs. They're like Boy Scouts on an outing.
Oh, maybe that's later. Yeah. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
This is why we usually watch these episodes the day we record them.
And it helps. Ted, they don't have time. It's time to punch out. And I appreciate that this is a union facility. Nobody is being asked to work extra or off the clock. I appreciate them for this. What are you sending us, Robert Clark Chan? It's a family of bugs. It's Boy
That's
Scout.
That's not a family of bugs. That is a fucking Boy Scout outing. What kind of family are you used to?
Okay, look, the leader father figure does have a hat reminiscent of a Boy Scout hat.
Park Ranger type thing, yes.
The other three are wearing baseball caps, black and yellow baseball caps.
That's their Boy Scout uniform. And one of them has a little backpack on and glasses. They are going on a Boy Scout outing. That's why he's teaching them to look both ways on the street.
No, not on the street, on the tracks.
Yeah, why are they? I mean, to be fair, why are they crossing? They don't need to cross these tracks. Like, where are they
going?
Don't
tell these Boy Scouts where they can and can't go.
Where is this concert?
They're getting their crossing the tracks Boy Scout badge.
Bug Scout badge.
Well, they're going to fail it because they're on there during the test. What a bunch of dummies. And that one, I can tell you right now, you say those, I can recognize Groucho glasses when I see them with the giant nose and the thick frames.
Wow.
That one is hiding. That one is in witness protection.
This is some anti-glasses bullshit right here.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
You hate people with glasses.
Clearly.
He goes flying off the tracks and then explodes into fireworks in the air.
It was wild. It was really like it was like Shawn Michaels selling for Hulk Hogan. It was really
yeah.
The smallest effect creates the gigantic after effect. It was
maybe
wonderful.
He's some sort of lightning bug and his butt exploded.
Could have been. I mean,
oh wait, are we talking about the bug exploded or who exploded?
The crash test dummy. The bugs, got some blowback because they're like dizzy on the track.
Oh yeah, they got spun around. They got the old spin around.
Come on, they're
old sit and spin.
The I don't think that's what that means.
Isn't that what the crash test dummies' names are? Sit and spin?
I mean, you're not totally wrong.
Don't forget the child, possibly little person, spare tire. The big strong one, Bull. Ted is the really good one. He's not the third in line. He's like the ace.
Yeah, yeah. He is the employee of the month. I think.
Yeah, Spin and Slick are like jealous of him because he's so good.
Yeah,
he's phenomenal at this
job.
He's
good at crashing.
And he's then there's so Daryl.
Daryl was from the original commercials.
But he doesn't do anything.
No, Ted is so good at his job and so well respected. They run out of time to attach him to the Torso 9000. So they just leave his head by itself in the science lab room overnight. So the night janitor comes in and starts vacuuming up. He vacuums up his head. There's a huge oops crash. And he puts the evil gimp head on the Torso 9000. Could have seen that coming. Throws Ted's head in the garbage.
We've all left a co-worker's head somewhere we shouldn't have when really we should have cleaned it up properly because we might go to jail. But we were tired that night and we had a pilot due and we had to record a podcast. So we left that co-worker's head under someone's desk and said, I'll come in early tomorrow and I'll fix it.
This, I think, is something that everyone here can identify with.
Yeah.
I can understand everyone listening has had that experience
multiple times.
Doing too many podcasts and just being tired and basically phoning it in, really. Just waiting for the thing to be over, quietly throwing in a gag now and then.
Now, I can't say that part I understand.
Mm-hmm.
I phoned in exactly 3 podcasts in my entire life, and only one of them was a show I host. I'll let you figure it out. Anyway, there's a hubcat. I just thought that was fun. And they have a jet. There's a jet.
I was unclear what the fuck that hubcat was about, because it appeared to be like a bad dude's cat.
But he was also like kind of fucking it seemed like.
I missed that part.
Yeah, but like, well, here's the thing. I didn't like it because like Hubcat, which is a crash test dummy cat, the evil guy comes to life and is like, I need an evil sidekick, which like, listen, it's 1993. We were past the evil cat sidekick, and he forces this cat to be his sidekick against its will.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait a minute, Gina, I got a bad news for you about literally every cat owner.
That is not how the cat distribution network works. So, but this cat like eventually comes around.
This cat is genius. Like,
It's like his buddy. I don't understand it.
He has Stockholm syndrome.
Uh-huh.
The cat's like, I've been kidnapped. No one is coming to rescue me. I can either submit to Evil Head Torso Man or I will get really sad. So then the cat's like, all right, I guess I'm fucking evil now.
See, and this is where I thought Gina would like this villain a lot more. Junk Man is the name of this evil gimp head with the Torso 9000, because he becomes sentient. He comes to life. And the very first action he takes is to find his cat.
It's not his cat.
It is after he takes him.
Not his cat.
He just wants a cat. And then he literally grabs a jet, throws it on the track, and then flies off with his new cat.
What's his end goal? What's his evil end goal in this show? I forget.
But I believe I wrote it down. So
take over the world?
Take over the factory with a bunch of Torso 9000s?
Like build himself a Nazi military and then slowly take over the factory and the world?
Yes.
Anyway, the joke that got me every single time, there is a running gag in this show, and they do it like 4 times at least. And that's that anytime there's a crash test dummy near a vehicle, a car, And the dummy's always like, oh, I'll drive over there. And it could be the shortest. It could be the, like, across the parking lot. Literally, they will find any excuse to say, oh, I'll drive, get behind the wheel, and then immediately crash the car and fly out of it in pieces. And I'll be honest, I laughed every time.
Oh, my God. They go back to this well way too much.
It's so perfect. It's so wonderful.
I can understand, like I'm starting to think that maybe the, oh, it's too cost prohibitive was a lie, because really they were like, the internal discussion among the executives were like, can we sustain a show for more than one episode where every 2 minutes there's an actual crash? And they were like, I feel like we saw too many in the pilot. How could we make an entire season of this?
But what's great is it's never a plot point. It's just they're having a conversation, be like, oh, a car. Yeah, I'll drive you back to the factory. Crash. And like, it never relates to what they're doing, but it's always funny. I'll be honest.
It's not always funny. It's not always funny.
It's very, very. I wrote here, LOL, they always crash.
No. I wrote here, kill me.
We had two vastly different experiences watching this show. Wild. So there's a point they find Ted in the garbage because he smartly starts making noise when they're in the lab. And he says, they took the GIMP guy, he took my body. And in my head, I'm like, Ted, don't you have another body? Don't you have your normal body? Like,
yeah, I know they're putting you on this torso. It's like probably at the cleaners or something. It's like he planned on wearing this body for a while.
That's fine. But if I have a finest suit and my kid barfs all over it, uh-huh, I have other things to wear. I don't understand. Like, he seems helpless. Like, without that one torso that I hadn't even been given yet, I will never have a torso. How is he a respected member of the Crash Test Dummies organization if he doesn't even have his own torso? This is where I will say it lost me a little bit.
Yeah.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Prime Day es el 16 y 17 de julio. Con las ofertas épicas exclusivas para miembros Prime, recibe el reconocimiento que tanto mereces.
¡Wow! Gracias. Ni siquiera preparé un discurso.
Quisiera agradecer a mi familia, que siempre necesita cosas. También a Sam, mi repartidor, por entregarme todas mis ofertas increíbles tan rápido. ¡Te adoro, Sam! ¡Mua!
Compra ofertas en electrónicos, hogar y más este Prime Day, del 16 al 17 de julio.
You're looking at an incredible new plane, the G.I. Joe Conquest X-30.
The G.I. Joe Conquest X-30. Imagine being aboard it as it takes flight.
There's Cobra!
The G.I. Joe Conquest X-30 is gonna meet Cobra in a big dogfight. And Cobra's gonna know you can't beat G.I. Joe.
G.I. Joe, American hero.
Live the adventure of G.I. Joe. G.I. Joe Conquest X-30 comes with pilot.
Joe, Joe!
Now, back to G.I. Joe.
Let's go to Junk Mountain, where they have junk bots. That's what he's calling them. And Junk Man. I mean, this guy's a narcissist, first off, you know. Junk
he
Mountain.
He got some property pretty quickly after he came to life.
He got a castle or a sky mansion or whatever it is.
Yeah, real fast.
Real fast. I don't know if it was already there. Maybe he was already there and he just took over.
Oh.
I mean, the cat probably has a realtor's license.
Oh, okay. I'm interested in this cat spinoff.
Cats are accomplished in this world.
Hubcat the Musical. I'd watch. Now, he says he needs the plan for the Torso 9000. He's wearing one. He wants more of them. He doesn't know how to make them. He needs to get the plan to take over the world. And my question is why exactly? What is this torso doing for him that he couldn't just do with some other torso?
It made him indestructible. What are you talking about?
So our heroes, the crash test dummies, they're putting together a think tank for what to do about Junkman. Now, my first thought is leave him alone. Don't do anything.
We haven't talked enough about the professor character.
Professor Zub.
Is that his name?
His name is Zub. I had to look it up because I was like, that can't possibly be his name.
What is that? Does that have some sort of car meaning? What is that?
Not as far as I can tell.
Zub? There's got to be, like hubcap? Is that like what they're going for?
Zubcat?
I don't know. It's got to mean something.
We like to think that it means something, but
the other ones are sit and spin. Those are car things.
That is also not their name. Not so what I they see are called. Where the problem is.
No. But it should have been. They really missed an opportunity.
I mean, Zub makes no sense. Are you sure it's that? This is actively making me angry.
I really wanted a professor to have like this heavy German accent, and they just don't give it to us. He has your standard high-pitched scientist voice.
It's because he was Leech. Leech, help you. You have Leech. I help you.
God bless America. So he says, we have the plans for the Torso 9000 on this micro disc. If we just protect the micro disc, which I don't know how they know that's what exactly the only thing that Junkman wants, unless he wrote a manifesto and put it online.
Well, it's like the thing that the most like if you ran a fire station and you're like, okay, a bad guy's coming to, you know, for reasons, it's probably the thermonuclear warhead we have in the basement. Because, like, it's either that or, like, our Oreos, and we've only got, like, half a bag of Oreos left. So there's, like, one thing that is super powerful that they have, and it's that.
See, that's what
I still don't know what he plans to do with it, but everyone's dead set convinced.
His next move may be to try to get this. It contains the plans for the Torso 9000. If Junkman got his evil hands on this information, the world would become a very unsafe place.
Why exactly? It's
unsafe. It's unsafe.
And how is he going to make them? He doesn't have a factory.
I mean, he got a castle in under 2 hours.
You know what? That's a great point.
It does seem like there's some plot holes in this, though. Like, how no, I think it still he holds needs to together. Connect us to from A to C. He can't just be like, step one, evil torso. Step three, bad world.
Bad world. I think it holds together. I like the fact that this is actually a Dipsy Doo Dunkaroo. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment. But they go to the crash test dummies airfield right next to the testing facility, and they start flying around on planes. And
I mean, this is the logical progression from if you can crash a car, you can crash a plane.
And we need dummies to let us know how safe planes are when they crash.
I mean, if episode two wasn't going to be crashing a train and then crashing an ocean liner, then what are we even doing here?
I was going to say submarine. Like if we sent them down to the Titanic,
if
that sub would last, I'd be into that.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like safety measures are for a reason. I don't know if y'all listen to the Behind
Ray,
the Bastards about the death sub
who's
guy.
Who's paying you? Are you being paid by Big Automobile? That sure sounded
Detroit,
like it.
Detroit, Gina. Figure it out. We live Big Automobile. That was the crazy thing. I'll tell you right now. Moving from Detroit to Los Angeles was wild because it never occurred to me like everything is car related. Like everything is in relation to how it affects the automotive industry when you live in southeastern Michigan, right? It's just everything is just in that prism. You just think about everything through cars. And then I moved to LA and ain't nobody gave two shits about cars here. And it was about, how does this affect entertainment? How does this affect movies and TV? And it was wild that, like, and I'm wondering, like, be like Memphis is the hub of like UPS and FedEx. So do people that live around there like see everything like, well, how does this affect international shipping? I don't know, but I'm curious. What I mean, in New Jersey, like, you know, how will this affect the hair oil industry?
I mean, you should have gone with Taylor Ham, because there's a bagel boss that just opened up in Burbank. My timeline has been flooded with posts of people going there.
You know, y'all could just go down to the Ralph's and get bologna, right?
Spoken like a man who has never had this actual food.
And never will.
That would be like if I said, we don't need fucking education. Ramen.
We don't need your
thought control.
You can
just put spaghetti in salty water.
Okay. Okay. I see what you're doing there. I don't like it, but I have to respect it.
I want to try some spaghetti in salty water now. I'm getting kind of hungry. And is it weird? Like, okay, I'm so tired of Taylor Swift being pushed on us all the time. Now she has a ham as well, Gina.
I think you made this exact same joke about 2 years ago.
Check the record books.
This is why we need to have a spreadsheet.
To the spreadsheets.
Anytime you want to populate a spreadsheet with a transcript of every single episode we've done, Gina, be my guest.
Listen, if we were Joan Rivers, we would have done it.
That's true.
If we had had 500 interns, we could do it in one lunch hour.
Surely some intern who will intern for us who needs college credit, right? That's still a thing.
Oh my God. Somebody would actually do that for college credit.
Listen, there's a whole episode of Seinfeld where Kramer gets an intern.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Delightful. Anyway, so we crash our airplane. I do like that Junkman has like Frankenstein like slabs that he has all these bodies of robots on, and he says, I will build these perfect fighting machines, and then we will go to the crash test dummies factory, and then we will steal the mini disc with the plans for the Torso 9000, and then we will take over the world. And I'm like, if you have already built robots that are capable of overrunning the crash test dummies facility and steal the micro disc, you probably don't need the micro disc.
This is a surprisingly convoluted plan, to be honest. I'm guessing that what happened with this, similar to the Geico cavemen getting their own show, was that someone was like, oh, like we need IP-based shows that will sell toys. What's popular right now? And someone was like, my kid loves those crash test dummy commercials. And some executive was like, yeah, those are funny. They make me chuckle a lot. When I'm sitting in my Easy Boy and my wife is making her salty water spaghetti, I really chuckle when those come on during my sports games. You're right. Kids do love it. Let's write a show around that. And then the writer was like, hell yeah, I pitched an idea, and then went back and watched those commercials and was like, oh, it's just men dressed up like crash test dummies sort of making jokes and then crashing. How do I stretch this into a 22-minute TV episode? And then he was like, all right, what if they're crashing? Ooh, what if they're driving an important person's car? Ooh, the president's car. Okay, that got me approximately 30 seconds of a TV episode. Now what?
Gina.
Oh, maybe there's some bugs on the track. Oh, okay. And then someone was like, no, we need like a bad guy. Who's the bad guy in the crash test dummy scenario? And they were like, is it like a real life person? Is it someone that doesn't drive well? And they're like, no, it needs to be another crash test dummy. And they were like, well, now we're getting deep into the lore.
Gina, you tell me there were people inside those crash test dummy outfits in the commercials? Wait, what?
I know that this isn't the point of that rant, but Easy Boy?
As soon as I said it, I realized, I thought it's either Lazy Boy or Easy Chair.
But it was neither.
But I had to keep going.
Yeah, no, I understand. But I stuck there and didn't hear any of the rest of it. So apologies. If you could just do that all again, I would really appreciate it.
All right, line it up. Back to one, everybody. We're going to have to start this whole episode over again. Hey, everybody, and welcome back.
Oh, my God. My first note of kill me was accurate.
So they fly in their airplanes. They're going to fly, Sit and Spin are going to fly their airplanes to Evil Junk Mountain to get them. And this is when, I love this, Junkman busts out an 8-bit... what is it? Incredible Dummy World, a Super Mario clone that also is planes. He takes over the controls of both of the airplanes from a distance and then flies them around crazy. He controls one stick, and Hubcat, who has decided to lean into evil, controls the second stick. Hubcat, I love you.
I mean, cute as hell. I loved it. There's any argument out here.
No argument. And the planes go out of control, of course, and you won't believe this, you guys. They crash.
I wonder what the crash count is in this episode. How many times?
Oh my God,
they crash.
I should go back. When I watch it again, Gina, I'll
oh
let
my
you
God.
Know. I mean, I probably need to watch it like 3 more times. This is phenomenal.
We just come in and like your brain has dribbled out of your ear and you're just like, crash test dummies. And nobody, it turns out if you watch this show more than once, it's like the fucking Ring, except it melts your brain.
Well, my brain felt melted at this moment because cut to Junkman, who now has the disc.
Wait, he gets the disc? I thought it was like a dummy disc. Like they like, it was like a poison pill.
It was a fake disc. The professor, Zub, who cares? The professor put fake plans on the disc. Now, what I love is, the last scene was the crash test dummies trying to fly to stop Junkman. We have not seen Junkman leave his castle. We have not seen him enact any particular plan to get the disc. And I had to watch it like 3 times and rewind because I thought I missed a scene or something. Because he just says, now I have the disc. What a show.
I believe the plan was to use the planes as a distraction for the that robot that showed up earlier that was like sort of spying on them to steal the disc.
Not clear. What? Didn't need to be.
Yeah, I didn't catch any of that.
The elliptical void works in my brain. I don't need to see every frame to know what happened. Good job, Incredible Crash Dummies. 1993, Fox Kids special.
You must distract those dummies long enough to steal that micro disc.
Yeah, my guess is that they ran out of money to finish animating the part with those robots actually stealing the disc. They're just like, they'll figure it out.
Honestly, it's like that Sigma 6 episode where the very opening scene, Cobra Commander says, Storm Shadow, go and steal that thing. And then they have some other adventure. And then the last scene is Storm Shadow showing up with the thing. It was awesome.
I mean, it's been done before.
I loved it. I'm not going to lie. Wait a minute. Do you think the makers of G.I. Joe Sigma 6 watched this episode of Crash Test Dummies and got this great idea for a plot point with Storm Shadow? I'm going to say yes. It turns out the fake disc has a transmitter in it. Now they know where the evil lair is. So if they didn't know where the lair is, why were they getting in planes? I don't know. But it makes perfect sense. Our heroes have arrived at Junk Mountain, and you wouldn't believe it, they crash through the gates to get in. And I laugh once again. Exclamation point. LOL. And I'm the only one left.
Yeah, Chan and I both killed ourselves.
I loved this episode. And the more I talk about it, the happier I get. And I don't care if anybody else is on board with me. I didn't pick this, Robert Clark Chan. Suffer with me. I had a blast. 2 in a row. Pogs was excellent. This is excellent.
Oh, God. We have to remember to switch whatever piece of trash we were going to watch tonight over to next week.
I'll move the calendars around. Okay. Yeah, I don't think Chan necessarily curated the order.
Okay.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say he did not.
I think this is all a treasure hunt, that if we watch enough of this crap, it will lead us to some sort of treasure.
This is a Gary Gnu situation right here.
A what?
There's no Gnus like Gary Gnus. We got to watch Gary Gnu, who was the highlight of season 8 of Knowing Is Half the Podcast, as far as I'm concerned. And we had to get through Great Space Coaster and Banana Split Show to get there. And it was worth it. I don't know. Maybe it was worth it.
This might be my least favorite thing we've ever watched. Or I just keep Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless minding myself anytime we watch something really bad, so that I never truly remember the really bad ones.
Someday we'll get those interns to transcribe all of our episodes. We will find the number of times that you said this is the worst thing ever, and then have some sort of Sweet 16, March Madness tournament style situation.
Oh my God, I love that.
Rewatch them all to see which one truly was the worst that you had ever seen.
I love this idea. Yeah, I'm in. So they have booby traps on the island, including a giant magnet crane. And I don't know. There was a bad signal at some point. They have to check an antenna. Junkman is there. The bad guys start shooting. There's now like weapons and bullets and guns here.
It was the 90s. It was a different time.
This gets wild because the stakes never feel very high. They put all the trappings of like drama. There's like music and tension, but it's never that.
Well, that's because they are basically indestructible. They cannot be killed. They cannot be harmed in any way because they're just like, oh, all my parts have fallen off. I'll just put them back together.
Yeah. Also, I would point out when they get to the two of them, Sit and Spin, get to Junk Tower, Junk Mountain, they see Junkman returning in like a flying spaceship. Meaning that he did go physically himself and go get the disc off camera. I don't know. It's very, very wild. They have a cannon. Look, they have a cannon that they're going to shoot themselves with. Not shoot themselves. That'd be phenomenal. They're going to shoot out of the cannon at the building, and you'll never believe what happens when they hit the building from the cannon, which of course fires the wrong way. If the answer is fall to pieces, you got it right.
I mean, here's the thing. That's their sole job is to consistently fall to pieces. So anything that they're trying is moot. Like really what they should be trying is like dipping someone in molten lava or something they can't come back from.
Yeah. We need a Toontown dip situation here.
Yeah. What's the, or like something so that they can't come apart anymore, like dipping them in solid gold and making them a solid gold statue. So then their sole purpose in life to be a crash test dummy is now something they can't do.
That's honestly a real good idea.
but
no, that like if they had actually done something like that to create stakes for the dummies in this, it's just sort of like, I'm going to take over the world somehow with something.
Yeah.
And you never get the sense that like he would accomplish it or that his plan makes any goddamn sense whatsoever.
Yeah.
But like if there was actually a thing where at least the dummies were, you know, in peril, then there would be something to this.
Here's the thing. If I were to pitch this show and someone's like, write this piece of crap show, this is my piece of crap pitch. It would be that they're all crash test dummies. There's not one with an indestructible torso, but there's one that's like, hey, do you guys ever get sick of just the fact that we're like being crashed for to make it safe for people. Like, I don't enjoy this. And the other ones are like, what are you talking about? This is our main purpose. And that one dummy is like, well, that's a shitty, shitty purpose. And they're like, okay, but like, what are you going to do about it? And then that dummy is like, I don't know, but I'll think of something. And then he looks up how to crash the world. And he basically builds a device similar to something Cobra would build to crash the world into the sun or the moon, either one. And like, they have to stop him and reaffirm his purpose that he's doing something important for the world. That actually has something. This is no stakes. This is, and I guarantee you they were like, hey, we can't have like the good guys. We can't get them confused with bad guys. So maybe if you have like a weird torso and weird head, that's fine, but don't have regular crash test dummies turn evil. And they were like, well, can it be something about crashing? And they were like, no, we don't want there to be any like any danger of any real crashing going on here. And so then they were like, well, you're talking about a lot of things that we can't do. So I guess let's just have this guy say he's going to take over the world. And then we'd leave out all the specific details.
Now, first off, it's bad for the brand if they show dummies doing terrible acts, right? That's just, they can't have that. Second, I love the notion of existentially dreading crash test dummies. If I was still writing comedy sketches, that I would be hammering that out tonight when we were done recording. Two crash test dummies in a test on stage, right about to get launched into a wall, having an existential dread conversation. There's something very funny about that to me.
Gina, I mean, I forget what the point of the in the commercials, were they aware that like, I can't remember if they were like happy that this was their job or if they were like, hey, great, we didn't crash. And then they were like, oh no, we're crashing again. Because in this cartoon, they are very clearly, they want to be crashed.
I think they're just as silly in the commercials as they are here, because the notion of it is, hey, look, we're in a car crash. All our heads and pieces fly off comically. But if you were a person without your seatbelt on, having this same crash wouldn't be that funny.
But I think, but the commercials, I think one of the problems here is that the commercials were geared towards everyone. So they didn't have these like stupid kid, like kids are stupid and making TV shows for them are stupid. So like in the cartoons, you could show them be like, oh shit, we're going to crash. But here they were like, well, we don't want to scare the kids. So don't make it that they're afraid of the crash. Make it that they like it, which doesn't really make any fucking sense. I've got a lot of problems with this unsold pilot from 1993.
Yeah, I don't have a ton. Chan, I'm sending you a video right now. This is a 20-second crash test dummy commercial. I have not vetted it, but maybe we could play it on the air. And so we could get a vibe for what these commercials were like to lead us into this cartoon.
Chan, don't open it. Ray just painted his dick to look like a crash test dummy.
Larry, you know, this simple exercise could help you stay healthy, which keeps medical costs down.
But you got to do it every day, Vince.
That's Lorenzo music.
Or you'll get out of shape, Vince.
Yep, Garfield.
You could learn a lot from a dummy. Buckle your safety belt.
Okay, so the commercials did have like actual stakes. Like they were like, hey, if you don't do this thing, you will die.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes, very clearly. And crash test dummies were a real thing. Like they use them in actual automotive tests.
I would wager that they're still used in some actual tests.
I would think so.
No, I believe they've replaced them with live monkeys.
No.
The level of screams tell them how much damage is being done and how, you know, what they need to fix.
I heard they replace them with ill-behaved children who don't know their bedtimes.
Oh, snap.
Are you saying that I have options?
So I have to clarify something earlier. I said they saw Junkman returning from getting the disc. I was wrong. He knew the disc was bad, so he captured Professor Zub. And he straps him to a machine with two toilet plungers that go to the side of each of his head because dumb, dumb doctor says, I didn't write down the formula to create the plan to create the Torso 9000. It's in my head. And Junk Man says, I'm going to get it out of your head with this machine I apparently just invented. with garbage that will be a brain extractor, and I will get the plan that way. And that's when, and honestly, a Matrix-y level moment. I was very impressed by this animation. The crash test dummies get the cannon working again, shoot themselves through a hole in the side of the room that is through the wall where they are, and then reassemble themselves to a standing position when they get there. This is what Wachowski siblings' wet dream, as Matrix is coming out a little bit after this. I have to imagine the Wachowskis saw this and got every idea to do the Matrix.
I want to lawnmower man myself so that I can upload my consciousness into the net, as it were, and erase every instance of this show existing until it becomes a Berenstain Bears situation where people are like, I swear to God, there was a cartoon about crash test dummies. And the dude who voiced Leech is like, I think I did a voice on that cartoon. And people are just like, hey man, it's just one of those things. It's like thinking that Sinbad starred in a movie called Shazam.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How long do you think it would take me to lawnmower man myself if I started tonight?
Well, look, I have a simpler lawnmower man, the version where you just stick your head into a lawnmower, and like, it will largely accomplish the same thing in that you will no longer remember that this thing exists.
I believe that's called the Jeremy Renner.
Could be. Yeah, yeah. I will also accept the Jeremy Renner.
Jeremy Renner? Oh, no.
He's recovered now. I'm allowed to make that joke.
Oh, was he in a lawnmower accident?
Famously.
It was like a snowplow accident.
Oh, okay.
But it was,
you know what?
Close enough.
I accept it. Close enough. For the bit, I'm in. Now every other crash test dummy is now suddenly here in the room with us. I don't know how they got there. This show is not good about time and space, but it's great about plot.
If you can save, I don't know, $30,000 not having like three people walk into a room, you're probably going to do it. I'm assuming that's how much the animation cost back then.
They make such a big deal about Sit and Spin crashing through and having to like really work hard to get into this room. And then they finally get there, and then they turn around and everybody else is just there. And I love it, man. I don't need to see that. I believe you. You tell me everybody else is in the room. Are the crash test dummies in the room with us right now? Yes, they are, and nobody needed to see them enter. This point, they pick up Ted's head, throw it at Junkman, hitting him. He flies off of a cliff. And
but again, no real stakes because he is fine.
He's fine. He flies away plotting his revenge.
Yeah, he does the classic like villain run away as he's yelling, as he's still sort of getting hurt.
You know, I guess we did see everybody enter. I'm rewatching the scene right now. It doesn't matter how they got there. All that matters is that they're there. And also, yeah, he goes off the edge of the cliff. I just have Innie and Audi are back to normal. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, I had the same thing. And I also don't know.
Wait, is that really what it says?
That's what my notes say. There must have been a very good reason why. there we go. It's because there is a switch on the brain suck machine that's one is Innie and the other is Audi.
Oh my God.
And they switch from Innie to Audi to put the thoughts back in the doctor's head. There we go. There we go. And yeah, Junkman flies off in a new vehicle, his flying helicopter jet alien. But then Junkman crashes it. And has to run away angry. That will never not be funny to me.
Uh-huh.
Incredible bit.
It's not an incredible bit.
Incredible bit.
It is the type of bit that you show your 97-year-old grandpa with dementia in a hospital, and he laughs at because every time he sees it, he thinks it's the first time he's seen it.
Come on, Gina. You don't need to be 97 to have dementia. And I laugh every time I see it. What does that say about me, Gina? You ever think about that?
I mean,
that?
I think we have established that you mm-hmm. have brain damage from a lot of things you've done in your past.
Oh, no. Maybe starting my first ever professional wrestling match by taking a concerto wasn't the greatest choice.
Maybe not. Maybe not.
Now I'm here doing a podcast about the Crash Test Dummies animated show from 1993. No, I'd say this worked out.
Not for you, but yeah, probably.
For the world, really. And that is Crash Test Dummies, unaired pilot from Fox Kids Animation from 1993.
I hate it.
I, quite frankly, again, we watch a lot of cartoons on this show. Not every cartoon makes me laugh out loud. Crash Test Dummies did, so it gets my official seal of approval.
I am, as of this moment, plotting how to kill you.
I feel like there should be a trail of murder plans. Because this is not the first time you have wanted to kill Ray.
That's true.
Gina just moved the date on the calendar. It's not exactly a new plan.
This is like when you have one of those like health wake up calls, and like you're like, I know I've said it a million times, but this time I'm really going to get into shape, and you do it. You do it that time. Like it's like, and then from that point on, you make small changes until like 2 years later, you're like, oh shit, I'm a healthy ass person. This is what I'm going to do 2 years from now, or maybe more, or maybe less, because I don't want to set a time limit on it. I'm going to make small changes as I work towards killing Ray.
Okay. I respect that.
Yes. I don't get any say in this, do I?
Mm-mm.
You can pretend you get a say in it if it makes you feel better.
Honestly, it does. So I just want to let people know this is part two of a five-part series you could thank Robert Clark Chan for.
I wish I could blame this on someone else.
Yeah. Next week's episode is literally just, I'm not going to click on it. It just says an interactive toy / game YouTube link. Look forward to that. week after, Children's Palace. Possibly not a show, but just an extended commercial YouTube link. That's phenomenal. I can't wait to dig my teeth into that.
What are you talking about? This on the calendar, it says Trolls Before Trolls? Question.
That was tonight, but I just moved that to 3 weeks from now. Trolls Before Trolls YouTube link. Not clicking on that either. I can be patient. I can wait. Chan's given us two gems. I trust his judgment for the next three.
I hope Trolls Before Trolls is a bros before hoes situation where they're just really raunchy trolls, but it's still a kid's show. And they're like, man, what are you messing around with that bitch for? You know, it's Trolls Before Trolls.
I'm going to do that. And in the trolls world, there is no gender. So the word troll is ambiguous, and that makes it Trolls Before Trolls. They know what they're talking about, but we as outsiders would not.
Is this like a Smurf thing?
I apparently believe so.
Yes. Now, have you guys seen the Trolls? Have your kids, Gina, your kids?
My many kids. Watch
the Trolls
listen.
Movies because mine just found them.
Listen, I have a past. I probably got kids out there all over. There's probably guys giving birth to my kids right now.
Gina,
we're going to have to explain to her.
You see, you know what? You're right, Gina. There might be boys out there having all your babies.
As long as they don't come to me for child support.
I swear to God, there's the Trolls, I want to say the Trolls 3 soundtrack that my kid has been listening to a lot lately.
Is it the Can't Fight the Music?
Yeah, there's that one Justin Timberlake song.
Yeah.
And I swear to God, it's on the soundtrack like four different times, sometimes sung by other people. And it's wild. I've now heard that song 972,000 times in the last week.
That dude made a lot of money off that troll song.
Man.
We have actually been watching the Trolls movies for a couple of years over at this house, and they're not that bad.
They're not that bad. No, they're fine.
I think in this day and age, with a savvy kid audience, when you've got things like Minions out there, I mean, you got to make a smart kids movie.
Yeah,
I wouldn't argue that Trolls is a smart kids movie.
there's actually some pretty good writing going on there.
Some good bits.
I'm not gonna lie. It's entirely possible that Anna Kendrick being involved has made it has sort of slipped by some of my defenses. I'm a big Anna Kendrick stan.
Yeah,
well, you're a Ken head. I knew that.
Yeah, you know me and the Pitch Perfects. Mm-hmm. But I still think they're we watch a lot of kids movies now.
That sounds awful.
The children are about that age.
Just show them adult movies.
What? I do, and then he gets nightmares, and then I have to be up at 2 in the morning because he's afraid that the goddamn xenomorph's going to bite his head off.
Wait, you showed your kid Aliens? What are you doing?
Listen, look, we all used to watch movies like that, and we were fine.
No! I was too scared to watch movies like that because I knew they'd give me nightmares, so I gave myself nightmares thinking about what they were when I didn't know what they were.
Nah,
and it was actually... I found out they were not as bad as I ever dreamed they would be.
You're a puss. I loved scary movies when I was little.
I love them now. I mean, look, me and Gina went to go see a scary movie. Can we talk about that?
Yeah, and then a truck blocked me in and tried to murder me. But because I got all the tips from the horror movie, I was able to escape.
Now, here's the deal. We watched Strangers Chapter 1, and I will say I didn't flinch a single time during the entire movie. I was stoic.
Chan, this dude screeched like a girl and jumped out of his seat and then started cackling laughing because he scared himself so bad.
I enjoy me a horror film because I'm not one of those people who sits back and says, no, scare me. I let it affect me. I get into it and I jump and shriek and I have a blast.
Well, then you should be in favor of showing your kid horror movies then.
No. Playing the Huggy Wuggy game. That was enough for her 6-year-old self. I have told her I would like her to get into scary media when she gets older. If she wants to, I have opened that door. I've tried to show her that horror is actually very fun because it makes you feel something. And then it can be very, very silly and very fun. And I've shown her in some of the other horror video games and scary things on the Roblox that actually it's just a jump scare and a jump scare is fun. And you know, she is kind of catching that wind and it's making me very happy. But I would never show her the goddamn xenomorph, Chan. You wonder why you're having problems.
You know what's
a good...
You
wonder why Amazing Digital Circus is playing 900 times in your house.
This is a good intro to scary movies for kids, which is like, you know, my brother and I watched Svengoolie with my nieces and nephew. And that's like more, you know, like old school black and white or campy stuff. And then like an old guy who is Svengoolie coming in and like making jokes about it. And it seems less scary, but it is, you know, like original horror movies so that it sort of...
Sure.
Desensitizes them a little bit and they learn to be like, oh, it's entertaining because it's also a little bit funny. Svengoolie, they have a talking rubber chicken as one of their bits. It's great. My brother and I fucking love it. When I'm not home, he DVRs all the Svengoolies. And then when I go home, we binge watch them all together and make funny comments. And my brother looks up which actors are dead and which ones are still alive.
Amazing. I was going to say Nightmare Before Christmas is a pretty nice gateway.
Yeah, the animated scary ones. Corpse Bride is great.
Yeah. The Coraline.
Coraline is great.
I haven't seen it, but I bet
Carol
it's great.
Coraline.
I still can't get over Chan. I still... We have to have a separate conversation, maybe off the air, because you say, my child gets terrified and has night terrors. I'm up with him trying to calm him down at 2 a.m. Then we watched Hellraiser the next day.
I mean, I figure it's like immersion therapy, right?
That's immersion. Just throw the kid off the diving board.
The only thing you're actually doing wrong is then staying up with him. You just got to be like, nope, you're on your fucking own. God. Just
lock the door and say like, nope, you stay in there. You stay in there until you conquer your fear, 6-year-old.
Yeah, hell yeah.
You don't lock it, Chan. You board it up with nails.
Yeah.
When I hear you say things, I see a clear cause and effect is all I'm saying. And I understand that is a terrible situation to be in. And my heart goes out to you in those parenting moments. But at a certain point, you showed him the xenomorph at the age of 6. I'm dying. Oh, Lord. Anyway, my kid's favorite Hellraiser is definitely the one in space.
Hellraiser 4, please.
It's so good. She doesn't have a favorite Critters yet, but I'm hoping to get her towards the one in space.
I watched the shit out of Critters when I was little. I loved it.
Critters 4 is one of my favorite movies of all time. That's the one in space, ladies and gentlemen. And it is so much more fun and smart than it ever had a right to be. Anyway, I'm getting way off track. I am literally tearing up with laughter at all of the nonsense happening right now. I'm probably just thinking about that damn car crashing again and all the dummies falling to pieces.
Oh, my God. Are we done? Can we be done with this? This whole thing has become a car crash.
Well, you knew that was
I see what you did there. Wow.
Yeah, we got there.
Gotta end it now.
Do you ever find yourself thinking about who would win in a fight between Goku and Superman? Hi, I'm James Gavsey, and on the Who Would Win show, me and my co-host Ray ignore anything important happening in the outside world and debate fictional battles between characters from comics, movies, and video games.
We got a new show every week, and almost always am I the winner.
Yeah, not true, Ray.
In the past, we've discussed such matches as Captain America versus Darth Vader, Solid Snake versus the Iron Giant, classic matchups like RoboCop versus Terminator, and even the Muppets versus Sesame Street.
That one was crazy. So if you're a fan of geek culture and love a spirited debate, check out the Who Would Win show wherever you get your podcasts, or check us out at whowouldwinshow.com.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Prime Day es el 16 y 17 de julio. Con las ofertas épicas exclusivas para miembros Prime, recibe el reconocimiento que tanto mereces.
¡Wow! Gracias. Ni siquiera preparé un discurso.
Quisiera agradecer a mi familia, que siempre necesita cosas. También a Sam, mi repartidor, por entregarme todas mis ofertas increíbles tan rápido. ¡Te adoro, Sam! ¡Mua!
Compra ofertas en electrónicos, hogar y más este Prime Day, del 16 al 17 de julio.